Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Paul cared enough about the Philippian jailer who wouldn't even care for the wounds of Paul and Silas. But Paul cared enough to say, we're not leaving. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. I think caring for the lost, truly caring for them, is one of the keys to evangelism.
Paul had a heart for the lost. He had such a love for people that he was determined to introduce them to Jesus so they could know the peace and joy that Paul had. Today on Practical Christian Living, we're studying one of the most powerful passages in the book of Acts as Paul and Silas find themselves locked up in a Philippian jail. With part two of our study, When God Opens Doors, out of Acts chapter 16, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Why do you think that throughout history, the Jewish people have been hated? Because they are God's called people. Follow me on this. Don't just hear that and close me off. They are God's chosen people to bring the Messiah into the world to bless all nations. And I'm going to suggest to you that anti-Semitism is demonic, because Jesus is Jewish. And you've got Christians, so-called Christians, who hate Jews, forgetting that Jesus came and he was Jewish. And all the disciples were Jewish. And Paul, who wrote 13 books, are Jewish. And I think it's demonic. I think it's demonic in their day. What's the accusation? These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble this city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans. Now, what were they talking about there? Maybe communion, because Christians say we're eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus. Now, we know it's symbolic, but maybe that's what they were talking about. I can't think of anything else. Maybe you can. And it says to receive or observe. Then the multitudes rose up together. So now it's like a mob against them. And the magistrates, these are the officials of the court. Remember, Rome has a very good court system. The legal system in America is copied by the Romans. They had a very good court system. But the magistrates strip off their clothes, verse 22, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. So now there's this mob action, the actual magistrates. This is the judge, those who were prosecuting, those that should have been on their side to figure out, to bring a command. They haven't been condemned. And they strip off their clothes and they beat with them with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Now the jailer comes in, who we saw on the ground in front of them, and then asking, what must I do to be saved? And what is he commanded? Keep them securely. Don't let them go. Now, if Paul and Silas get away, this man will lose his life. In Rome, if you were a guard and you were guarding a prisoner and you lost that prisoner, your life would be taken from you. You just did not let someone get away. And so he is told, you keep these guys securely. And then it goes on to say, verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What do you do when life turns dark and is unfair to you? It's unfair to these guys. They didn't do anything to get beaten with rods. What do you do? Why, God, why? Why are you letting this happen to me? Or are you praying? I don't know what they're praying about. Maybe they're praying, please let us go. I don't know. But they're praying and they're worshiping. They're singing psalms. Worship is very important in the Christian life. The largest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms, 150 chapters. And all those psalms were put to music. We read them as sayings, but they were all put to music. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 119, right in the middle of the Psalms. Well, not exactly right in the middle, but you get my point. It's very important. Music is important in our lives. We learn the ABCs by singing them, didn't we? On the way to church this morning, I have Apple Music, and so I asked, play 80s Christian essentials music. Because I was a Christian in the 80s. And I listened to the Christian music. And so it started playing Russ Taff and Steve Green. Those of you guys who know it, Steve Green had a song called People Need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, there's an open door. People need the Lord. I'm like an idiot singing at the top of my voice to some 80s song, driving down the freeway this morning. May you use worship in that way, and may the time of worship here in the church, may it bless you. May you find yourself brought before God in that time of worship. May you be involved in it. May you lift your voice and lift your hands to Him. I understand that's not everybody. I understand that some people are deep into worship like this. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Next to somebody, people need the Lord. They're just praising Him. Be authentic. Be who you are. I'm not telling you to be someone you're not, but let worship mean something to you. So they're worshiping and they're singing, and the prisoners are listening to them. It says, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and the chains were loosed. Now, if I'm Paul and Silas and there's an earthquake and the doors open and my chains fall off, praise God, He has delivered me. And I'd run out those doors. But God didn't open these doors to deliver Paul and Silas. God doesn't open every door for you to go through. God opens up doors for people to go through in the life around you. And so it says, and the keeper of the prison, verse 27, awoke from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. His life turned dark quickly. Suddenly the doors of the prison that he's commanded to watch over are open. He said to keep Paul and Silas securely. He knows he's going to be killed. He's like, I ain't letting no Roman soldier kill me. And he pulls out his sword and he's about to take his own life. Talk about life turning dark fast. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself. We are all here. Paul cared enough about the Philippian jailer who wouldn't even care for the wounds of Paul and Silas. But Paul cared enough to say, we're not leaving. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. I think caring for the lost, truly caring for them, is one of the keys to evangelism. Truly loving them, caring for them. Then he called for a light. He ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hey, we all want that. That's that. Someone just, like you sit down on an airplane, someone says, oh, you're a Christian, you're reading your Bible. Why, yes, I am. What do I have to do to be saved? Well, let me tell you what you got to do. Doesn't happen like that generally. We're planting, we're watering, we're waiting for God to do what? Open doors. We're waiting for God to cause an earthquake in their life to open doors so that people will give their lives to the Lord. Interesting, in the song I listened to by Steve Green today, I'd forgotten those words. Interesting how they came back. But people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, there's an open door. When our dreams are broken, God opens doors and people get saved. Most of you guys didn't get saved because life was good. You weren't like, you know what, life was great. I had a great job. It was all rainbows and kitty cats and it was just fantastic. And I just said, you know what else I need? Besides rainbows and kitty cats and sunsets, I need the Lord. It's usually not how it happens. It might have. Maybe for some of you. But for most of us, it's God, I'm at the bottom. God, I need you. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. My father died in April, and I met the Lord in June that same year. It was at the end of a broken dream that a door was open. When I was 19 years old and I'd walked away from God, God took everything from me. And at the end of broken dreams, there was an open door. And I called out to Christ and He transformed me. If you're here today, there's an open door. It says, so they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, we know that that's how we get saved, by believing. We believe and we get saved. But listen, you can believe and just kind of believe. You can believe in Jesus and go, I believe he rose from the dead and I believe he's the Lord, but it doesn't affect my life. Which makes me wonder, how much do you really believe it? If you don't believe it enough to live for him. If I'm driving down the streets of Tucson and I see something wild, a tanker, a semi-tanker, flips over on the middle of an intersection and slides into another truck. I see the whole thing happen. I park my car, I run out, I grab people out of the truck and I grab the driver out of the tanker. And the driver looks at me and says, run, it's gonna blow. If I don't believe him, come on. What do you got in that tanker? Water? It's gonna blow? If I really believe him, what am I gonna do? I haven't run in 20 years, but I'm running. I have no idea what I'm gonna look like when I run. It's not gonna be pretty, but I'm running, all right? I'm going, because I believe it. If you believe the Lord, you're gonna run. If you believe the Lord, you say, I give you my life. I'll live for you, I'll die for you. I'll serve you today if you kill me tomorrow, because I believe you rose from the dead and you're giving eternal life and I believe in you. But I think there's a lot of Christians who don't really believe like that. They're like, I'll believe. I want to get my parking validated for heaven. I'll believe. But that's not what salvation is. Salvation is you believing. And that's why our lives change. That's why we're transformed. See, I believed what the driver of the tanker said to me. That's why I ran. Running away saved me, but it was believing what the tanker guy said that saved me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have run. And if he told me to run and I didn't really believe him, it'd blow up and kill me. Now, some people will say, well, your running saved you, which if people saw me run, they wouldn't say that. But some people would say that. Your running saved you. But it wasn't the running. It was me believing what the driver of the tanker said. And if you believe Christ and you begin to live for him, it's not living for him that saves you. It's believing him. That's why it says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. And then verse 33, and he spoke to them that same hour and that same night, and he washed their stripes. So immediately he changes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. So there's a transition. They're now being baptized. They're going under, dying to themselves, rising up, living for Christ. Now, when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced. He wouldn't even tend for their wounds before. Now he's feeding them and rejoicing. He believed in God with all of his household. And when it was day, the magistrates and sent officers saying, let these men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul saying, this magistrate says, send and let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, you have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. Romans had rights. Roman citizens had rights. You could not beat them uncondemned. And then it says, and now they have put us out secretly? No, indeed, Paul says, let them come themselves and get us out. Paul's like, I'm not leaving this prison. God opens up doors, he won't go. The magistrate says, leave. He's like, nope, you tell them to come down and make me go. Verse 38, and the officers told these words to the magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard they were Romans. Now they're in trouble because there's people in charge over the magistrates. And they came and they pleaded with them that they be brought out and asked them to depart. First time ever anybody said, please leave prison. Please leave prison. It's the first time it's ever happened. So when they went out of prison, they entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and they departed. Now, three things in closing. Number one, the ways of God are not the ways of the world. Come out from among them, the Bible says, and be different. I'm going to say it again. We don't want our PR from the Progressive Church, from the Mormons, from the Jehovah's Witnesses. We want God to be able to be the one doing the work to draw people to Christ. And we will follow him and not the ways of this world. Number two, put your mind on God and his promises and not on your circumstances. Are you metaphorically in a prison today, chained up? Will you pray and worship and trust God? How do you know that God's not using your difficulties to bring a Philippian jailer to the Lord? Now, again, I'm talking in metaphor, right? But do you see how that works? God had Paul and Silas beat in order to save a Philippian jailer. Now, I might say to God, can you do that a different way? with me? But if God is going to use suffering in my life to bring people to Christ, I'm in. Trust me, I'm asking God even right now in front of you guys, please, God, please don't let me suffer anymore. I'm asking. That's what I want. I'm just like you. But if God's going to use suffering in my life to bring people to Christ and give them eternity, I'm in. Whatever God wants, however God wants to work in my life, I'm His. He's my Lord. When I confess He's my Lord, I meant it. I believed it. He's my Lord. And so don't look at the circumstances, but look at your Savior. Finally, this is an example of how God uses pain to achieve His purposes. People will say, well, why does God allow pain? Because God does things through pain. Just look at the cross. The great pain an innocent man suffered brought salvation to the entire world. That's an example of the way God uses pain. And if God is going to use pain in my life to bring people to Christ, then again, so be it. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have this passage to be able to look at. How incredibly powerful it is and how it truly speaks to us. And we thank you for what you're doing. And I pray, Lord, for everyone who is here, that now you would speak to them about whether or not they've given their lives to you, if they are truly living you, if they believe you when they say, when you say the tanker's going to blow up, do they run? Will they do the things you say? And we ask this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you made a commitment in the past, but you didn't follow through with it, and you know you need to make it right, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says, as many as receive Him, this is John 1:12, as many as receive Him, He gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in His name. Again, we're back to believing. You believe it enough to live it. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You have to be transformed. So when you believe and you receive Christ, He comes into your life, He forgives your sins, and now you can go boldly before the throne of God and make your requests for Him. And God uses you as an ambassador. You become, as Jesus said, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Your life is no longer lived for yourself, but your life is lived for Christ. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for disciples. Just like He told Peter, James, and John, follow Me. And they followed Him. He's saying to you today, follow Me. If you would call out upon Him. So I'm going to ask you something that is simple for you, but incredibly profound for your life. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus today. This is between you and God. And you're saying, I want to accept Him. I want to live for Him. God bless you, sir, up in the balcony to my left. Your hand went up immediately. God bless you, sir, under the balcony. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am, all the way back in the edge over here. That's incredible. God bless you, sir, there in the balcony. God bless you, sir, back under the balcony. God bless you, sir, there with the white shirt. God bless you. That's great, right here in the front. Sir, that's awesome. God's got a plan. Anyone else? God bless you, right there in the middle, sir. That's awesome. God bless you, sir, in the front. Anyone else? Don't let this moment go by. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. And if you've heard Him today, then raise your hand now. Again, lift it up high so I can see it. I want to pray with you. God bless you, sir, all the way over to the left. That's awesome. Anyone else? God bless you in the back under the balcony, ma'am. That's great. And if I missed your hand, know that God sees your hand, all right? That's what's important. But you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, and if you're online and you're watching the service and you want to give your life to Christ, He's right there with you and He will hear this prayer with you. And I'm going to ask everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from You. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite You into my life and I turn from my sins that I can live for You. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Now listen, you guys have become disciples today, disciples of Jesus. You guys have become followers of Jesus. It's Him that you've invited into your life. And Jesus said, I and my Father will come in and will reside in you. That's why we receive Jesus. And God's going to do a work in your life. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. Why? Because you believe. You're running now. So you believe Him, so you're doing what He says. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your life. God's got a plan for you, every one of you that responded. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And we've got some things we want to give you. A Bible, so you can begin to read it now, help you to know where to begin to read it, and a packet. Inside of that packet is information. Now you've raised your hand. Now you've given your life to Christ. What do you do next? We want to help you. Christians figure this out sooner or later. Those that are genuine and commit their lives to Christ, how to be established in Christ. But we would like to help you now come out of the starting blocks running really well. So we've got some information for you. There's a new believers team over here on the lower section. They're great. Just stop by there, tell them I got saved. They'll give you that information. And listen, if you're here and you're thinking, well, I've been a Christian for a while. I'm not really established yet. What do I do? What do I do? Stop by there, tell them that. Just tell them I didn't give my life to Christ today, but can I have some information? Robert said I could. They'll give it to you. We just want to help you and allow us to help you. Those of you who have given your life to Christ today, allow us to come alongside and help you. We really want to see you established quickly and begin to be used in Christ in an incredibly powerful way. All right. Now I want to bless you before you go. I want to use a blessing out of Numbers that says, speak the name of the Lord over people in this way. And God's name is in this blessing three times. And God's name is the great I am, the ever-existent one, the I am that I am. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God. And His name is being spoken over you now. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. May God open doors in the lives of the family and friends around you who come to the end of their broken dreams because people need the Lord. And you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. You're a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. You're an ambassador for Jesus as if you are imploring with people to come to Christ. And may God fill you with His Spirit and empower you to do the work He's called you to do. He's not asking you to do it on your own. He will fill you with the Spirit to stand and do that.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.